Thanks for listening to BS and Beer Media. This podcast is about professional wrestling.
What's up? Another week. We are back. We're going to discuss a little something different rather than just go through a bunch of topics and news. We're going to discuss the current product, focusing on WWE SummerSlam upcoming with July 30th. Is that right?
Yes.
And yeah. So, I got my guy Brandon with me. I got Aaron with me. What's going on, y'all?
Nothing much. What's happening?
Another day, another bad wrestling show.
Oh, man.
If you watched Money in the Bank, if you were there for Money in the Bank, you got to see Corbin come up behind Pat McAfee and go to work on him.
Oh, yeah.
Which left him in the little brace, right?
Yeah.
What he showed up at UFC with. So, I mean, I guess they're trying to build something here. They're trying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like Corbin as far as he makes me hate him and everything.
I
was gonna say,
I never thought I'd hear you say the words. I like Corbin.
I didn't either. Yo, so you know what? You should give them some backstory.
Okay.
So me and Dale have been going to these wrestling events for what? I mean, probably about 7 years, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time now.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So when Corbin used to come out, Dale would be like, bathroom break. Or he'd be like, oh, I hate this guy. Like,
I gotta go, bro.
You gotta go. He couldn't stand him. I never forget it.
I hated that dude.
One of these events we went to, and when Corbin was on, like, Dale took forever in a line to go get something to eat or something or another. And just, he hates the guy. He can't even watch him. It was hilarious. So to say how far we've come is it really is a long way with him not, you know, just barfing at the idea of Corbin's name mentioned in his presence. Like, it is incredible.
Yeah, the man has done some good work.
He can really work. Like, he's good in the ring, great moveset. He can talk on the mic, but I can't stand him either, but that's the point. And he knows people can't stand him.
Yes.
And he uses it. And that's, I mean, he's good at what he does. I can't imagine him ever being a babyface.
That's the brilliance.
I mean, he's worn Dale down. He's worn Dale down.
Yeah.
Let's get into like what exactly about Baron Corbin was horrible that you thought of? Like, what was it about him that you couldn't stand?
So it all started with the lone wolf gimmick in NXT. Okay, I hated him then. All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand him. All right. And they kept giving him TV time and stuff. And I'm like, yo, man, like, this dude is not good. You know? And then, like, his gear was terrible, dude. His gear was terrible and everything. Now, I'm not one to make fun of the balding guy because I'm bald. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I do understand trying to hold on to that hair as long as possible. And Corbin did that. He held on to that sucker, okay?
Yeah.
But, man, when he got to the broke-ass Corbin gimmick, I was like, yo, this is good stuff. I had to admit it.
He committed.
Yes.
He showed personality.
Let's talk about why it's good stuff. This is why Dale loved it, because Corbin was just being crapped on every week. Like,
yes,
people like throw things at him and talk about what a loser he was.
It was great.
You know, they all love that. He was all on board, like, yeah, some people are around to my side of the fence.
Absolutely.
Now, Dale saying he likes Baron Corbin. I feel like we're in the upside down. Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah. Man, that guy has done some great work. I'll be honest, like, he gets my sports entertainer of the year.
Wow.
I think for me,
top raise. It is.
Top raise. I never thought I would hear what we're hearing and witnessing right now.
Yeah.
I never thought that you would give him credit, because, man, the hate was real, y'all. I'm telling you, real. He was not in my presence.
He did not like this. Is how the apocalypse starts.
Like, I'm telling you, because he was not in the Baron Corbin fan club. And I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan either. But I think for me, you know, and maybe this turned out to be like for you too, but WWE gave this guy so much time for years.
Right.
And he had no personality.
Yes.
Nothing. There was no reason. Honestly, there wasn't a reason to boo him. Like, in I love to boo this person because I'm supposed to. It was just like, this guy's just not good. He's just taking time.
Get him off my screen.
He was overexposed, and he was just bland. And then that Happy Corbin situation on the downside, this is the first time he's shown, like, any kind of personality. That was of interest. Now, I do think this version of Corbin is annoying. I like the broke Corbin better. Right. I think it was more interesting. I think this is starting to get back into the territory of being overexposed for me. But I think that was the thing. Being so heavily featured, but not having a reason to be there other than just to be there. And it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't a Cesaro situation where he had no story, but he had great matches.
Right.
It was just, you see what I'm saying? Like, Cesaro was low because he, you know, it's Cesaro, even though he didn't have good stories. But this guy had no good stories, and you didn't care that he was there, and he was there way too much. So exactly. I think that's what did it for me. But, yo, that broke Corbin situation was great. I didn't know where they were going with it, but he really committed to that.
Yes. And
it was hilarious.
Yes. I'm really thinking, man, he is the epitome of what a mid-card guy is. Like,
oh, definitive mid-card guy.
He's just, it's solid. You're going to care about his story.
Work. Yeah.
And he's going to get somebody over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Madcap. I think he got Madcap over now.
Yeah, he did.
If he sustains it or not, I mean, that's up to him. But Corbin did his job.
Yeah. Yeah, he did on that one. The only thing that I think the only thing that I had a problem with that is, once again, it was overexposed, too much of it. But also, I won't lie to you, I did not feel like that was a WrestleMania worthy situation, right? Okay. None of the features that they had on that with, like Drew McIntyre and all that, like when he was going up against him at Mania, I didn't think that was something they had. I mean, they could have did it on the pre-show, but it was on a main slot, and it was just like, this feels like more of an episode of SmackDown or Raw. I mean, no real disrespect to that. It's just, it wasn't a story that I felt like needed a WrestleMania conclusion. It just didn't.
Okay.
You know, because I didn't feel like it had enough, you know, stuff behind it. It could have been, probably, but just to me, it wasn't like the stuff that he was doing. But I do like that this character better than the lone wolf situation. I do like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, but what are you guys thinking about him versus Pat McAfee? I mean, McAfee's had some good matches at NXT. His match at WrestleMania was nice too. I mean, he's a celebrity, but he is still WWE. He just signed a new contract, by the way.
Yeah.
So
Vince
making it work for that money. Vince about to make it work for that money now.
Yeah, that kid got the bag, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think WrestleMania was a great tryout for him, or not a great tryout for Vince to see him with his own eyes and go, oh, we need to sign this guy. Like, people like this guy. He can perform.
Yeah.
And he's got celebrity appeal. He's a crossover star, right?
Yeah. Self-made man on YouTube, bro. Like, it shows crazy numbers.
Vince, his eyes, like, I seriously doubt Vince watched his NXT match, but I think Vince had to watch this one because they were both on the same show, and he was outside. He was out there, right? Yeah. He was watching them.
Right.
And he just went, wait a second, this is what this guy could do? Why didn't y'all tell me this before? Because he didn't watch it. So
yeah.
I think that that was a great, like, impression for Vince to see in person and see that, you know, he just wasn't a celebrity. Like, he had been trained by an actual professional wrestler. And he could do stuff. And especially with more experience, he could definitely be polished. And he already has the fans on the side. So
yeah. Who trained him?
Was it Rip Rogers, I think? Here, hang on, let me see. I want to say it was Rip Rogers trained Pat McAfee. Hang on.
Okay. But, I mean, NXT guy, something like that? Or like a trainer or something like that?
Rip Rogers is an older legendary trainer.
Okay.
He's trained a lot of talent over, like, the past probably 3 decades.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it Rip Rogers?
Well, still, I mean, Vince cared enough about Pat McAfee. He flew to his show and got on his show to present him with the WrestleMania match.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that was pretty big.
Yeah.
Vince to go on his show.
Yeah, I thought that was a big move. I mean,
Vince never does interviews.
No, not at all. So that was what was really, really interesting about it too. I think he could be somebody if you wanted to stick to wrestling. I think he could really do some good things, and I feel like he has the height to really do it for Vince anyway. Like, he has the size to, like, so Vince can, in his mind, because I know he likes taller, bigger guys, I feel like that he wouldn't have those obstacles that other guys did. Like, Vince would immediately be like, oh yeah, he could be presentable as a future world champion someday if he stuck to it and grew and talent as far as, like, wrestling ability. Once he start working matches regularly, I think he's a big enough guy that Vince would probably give him a chance.
Yeah, I just don't want that for him, though. Like, he's great behind the desk.
He's great commentator.
He's not young. I mean, you got to think about it. He's already had an NFL career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I know he's a kicker, and say what you will about kickers. But, you know, Dale. I'm looking at Dale here.
I think he had a great comeback for being a kicker. Like, who got on him? Wasn't it Adam Cole that like, insulted him for being a punter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dale hates kickers like he hates Baron Corbin. So, I mean, it was that level of hate.
He's not lying.
But it can change, apparently. So,
I don't know, but I hear it at least 4 times a year during fantasy football season. Get rid of the kicker.
Just wait till fantasy football show is starting off on the BS and Beer Network here, okay? We're going to talk some kicker crap, and I got a lot of opinions on that. So.
Man.
So, yeah. All right, well, let's move to the Usos versus the Street Profits. And so we had the Usos get the cover over the Street Profits the last time, but the footage shows that the referee screwed up and Montez Ford had his shoulder up. And so he shouldn't have gotten the 3 count. And so now they're going to do it all over again, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
good match, though.
I can see that. I enjoyed the match. I think really everybody did, and I mean, these are two tag teams that are really exciting to see work. So, I mean,
at least they're giving us a reason for a repeat, you know.
Versus
it's almost like they're
showing up. I want another title match.
It's almost like they care about this tag team match. I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, out loud, but I guess I already have. Yeah, it's like they care about this tag team match. So we may get, you know, hopefully a tag team resurgence, considering that was the match of the night from...
Now.
Breaking news. WWE have tag teams.
I mean, I'm just saying.
They won't for long.
Yeah, they're going to break up the Profits, you know, if they break up the Street Profits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just saying, like... It may be a resurgence. Hey, 2017, we had the long feud with New Day and Usos.
Yeah.
And they had great matches. Just, I mean, they honestly, that's one of the main things to remember from 2017 was that. True. So,
yeah.
You know, but we may get
then, since then, and you know, he's forgotten all that.
Maybe a couple of times, you know.
Yeah, and now he's got his own stuff going on, so he's feuding with Court. Public opinion, but yeah. Hopefully with him, I mean, they say he's still got his hands in, or he was gonna still be in charge of creative, but I'm hoping that changes. I'm hoping that Steph and, you know, Triple H really get in a writer's room and really focus more on tag team wrestling, because I love tag team wrestling.
Yeah, it can be fun.
Yeah, that's why I like AEW.
Okay.
I think they've got too many stables and too many cliques in there, which I never thought I'd say, but you know, they're focusing on tag team wrestling, which is nice, because I mean, there's a lot of great tag teams that, you know, like FTR is great. I mean, they're probably the best tag team in the world right now. And to think that they were once with WWE, you know, they were great in NXT, had some great matches. I mean, you go back and you look at FTR versus, or the Revival versus DIY, look at some of those takeover matches, and, you know, they hold up. I mean, they're great, great matches. And so you have teams like that, and then they get called up, and they just get lost in the shuffle because, once again, WWE does not care about tag team wrestling. They need to put that on a shirt and work SummerSlam or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's a shame that they get lost in the shuffle, because you get teams like FTR. You get teams like, you know, the Bucks. You get teams like even like the new Vicious Viking Raiders. Those guys could, you know, when they were War Machine, or even when they were War Raiders in NXT, they were great. And then they got called up, and once again, Vince called them the Viking Experience the first time they walked by. Like, I don't need an experience.
It was like a theme park. It's like they were a theme park, the Viking Experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Vince was nervous about getting sued by Marvel for using War Machine.
Oh, for sure. You know, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. That's what it was.
You could market that. Yeah.
100%. Yes. You can market Rhodey, so.
But let's look at their kind of arc. It's like they came in as, you know, the Viking Experience, but it was supposed to be serious guys, you know, Vicious, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big guys, right? And then they put them with the Street Profits, and then they made them do this little comedy kind of angle with them.
And whatever that was in the trash can killed it.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That was terrible. I mean,
and so that softened them, right?
Yeah.
And so now they had to be repackaged again and given new entrance music and then now you're being forced down your throat with New and Vicious. So we have to remember them as New as Vicious Viking Raiders, you know?
You know, so let me ask you guys this, right? So, you know, War Machine was coming off of a hot indie run when they got picked up by NXT. Like, everybody was on War Machine. That was, you know, the smart fans, right, that watched that. So they run the NXT gauntlet situation, right, and then make their way to the main roster. Thinking about it now and just remembering how that was, do you think that if we, the fans, didn't, like, really get on their name change so much and it becomes so big about their name change that maybe their run would have been better by the name changes and the silly stuff that was going on with the booking? Do you think that could have been possible if we didn't really harp on that so much as what they were doing on the show? Because I remember that making its way, like, passively on the show.
Right.
You know, they picked up on fans basically making fun of, like, the name change, because that's when it got ridiculous, right?
But it's us that's making fun. It's wrestling.
But
fans.
They picked up on it because we didn't take them seriously, is what I'm saying. Because it was just like, what the heck going on here?
They do it for no reason, is the problem.
Do what now?
Usually they do this for no reason. There was no reason to change Walter's name to Gunther. There was
not him.
None.
Not him.
And then they, you know, they shorten Austin Theory to just Theory. And then they, there's never been a name that Vince McMahon did not want to change at least once. You can't tell me. I mean,
I think the only couple of people that he didn't really mess with, mainly because he really couldn't. I mean, Styles, he never changed AJ Styles' name ever.
No.
Styles came in, but he knew whoever, you know, told Vince about Styles, they knew exactly what they were getting and what they needed to keep. You know, Walter, he ran that name on the indie circuit. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why. The only reason why I think he could have changed Walter's name, because Vince, more than professional wrestling, is a more like a entertainment brand kind of guy. And I feel like Walter has superstar written all over him, and he didn't want to keep Walter's name associated with somebody he was going to make a star, because then he wouldn't get to keep the name. It was a thing where he wanted to put a name on somebody. Right. So when they got big, if they left, they couldn't take it.
For sure.
Because he is. Like, Walter is so, it doesn't matter where he goes. He commands presence. You know he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
It's just what it is, right? And I feel like that Vince, just thinking about what I've heard from him and how he works in business, just on my end of it, I feel like he looked at this guy and was like, there's no way I can let him run with this name, because he's already hot with this and he ain't even been on national television yet. He's mega hot. Like, no way. Like, we got to put a name on this guy we own. Mm-hmm. And we got to create a version of him that will forever be ours. They can't take with him if he leaves.
I agree with that. I agree with that. That's exactly why they went and changed his name and color and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And then they
dropped a lot of weight, too.
Yeah, exactly. They made him change his look. I mean, he still looks impressive, but it's so weird and different because you're used to seeing him a certain way.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move to Liv versus Ronda.
All right.
And this is going to be a rematch. I mean, are you excited to see a rematch of this? I was really thinking Ronda would just go away.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not really interested in seeing this, and it's not because I don't like these two, but I feel like this. When Liv cashed in, and look, I understand that the general consensus, we know it's a scripted show, but I feel like it kind of ruined the illusion to be cashed in on while you're injured by a babyface, right? And you're a heel, and then you get cashed in on, you lose the title, and then you go and hug this babyface. It blows the steam of wanting to see the match between them two, right? It doesn't set up a reason why you should have a rematch.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
There's nothing there, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, somebody should came out with, like, she had a rematch clause or something. In a contract, they should have gave us something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't make any sense to me to do this, but then to have this match right now on SummerSlam without any real story because the steam got taken away with the hug.
Yeah.
That should have been backstage, you know, unless she was going away. Now, maybe she planned on going away and then Vince was like, no, we need you for the show.
Yeah, maybe. That's possible.
You know what I'm saying?
Though, Liv Morgan can't lose.
No.
There's too much behind her. She loses, you might as well release her. It's done. But
Ronda can't lose either. I feel like Ronda really can't lose. It wouldn't make any sense. Like, she's the Brock Lesnar of the women's division. She's
not about to lose. This thing's gonna go Broadway. It's got to.
Or something.
That makes sense to throw Natty in there, and then that's a good point. Yeah, right?
Either one of them can eat the pin.
Yeah, that's a good
point. But Natty just got beat by a one leg Ronda on SmackDown with a squash match.
Yeah, Natty.
I think Ronda, maybe Ronda turns heel and gets disqualified.
I guess could be a full heel turn on.
Yeah, well, that'd make her interesting.
How dare you? Like, I hugged you after this.
Yeah.
It could be something like that where she's just like, you think you can win? Yeah. Like that kind of situation. Like, I gave you this. What are you talking about?
If we got to keep watching Ronda, I want her to be heel Ronda.
She's got to be the just, you know, like, you're beneath me. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, it could be like that. But otherwise, I don't really see this being a match that we really needed to have without a proper story. And look, I'm not opposing Ronda versus Liv. It's just not like this.
Yeah.
Not like this.
Gotcha. All right. Well, The Miz and Ciampa versus Logan Paul and AJ Styles. Now, this is kind of predictive, right? Just what's going on in the storylines and everything. But is this something that we could be interested in? Because it's coming off of WrestleMania.
No, oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. I don't care about Logan Paul. What? I don't care about Paul Logan. I don't care. I don't care about any of it. I'm tired of wrestlers, like celebrities coming in. And
he signed a contract, a WWE contract. Full time now.
Multi-year.
That's right.
Well,
you're gonna get the other Paul guy in there.
Yeah. Here's the thing about it, and this is why I can't stand it. And Brock Lesnar is guilty of this too. They never fight just like Lesnar always has to fight for a title. Why can't he just fight? I don't know. Pick a guy. Shinsuke Nakamura. No title, just a good match.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes these celebrities come in and they get all this treatment. Like, you know, if Logan Paul wants to really be a wrestler, I'm all for it. You know, hey, come in and join and. He has signed a contract, so we'll see. But 90% of these guys, I just, I'm tired of Brock Lesnar. I'm tired of Ronda Rousey. I'm just tired. Roman Reigns has gone away. And, you know, come back, don't. I don't know. I'm frustrated as a wrestling fan right now, and it's starting to show.
I think with Brock Lesnar, what they messed up with him is that putting a title on Brock Lesnar kind of puts them, it handicaps that situation, right? He's a special attraction at this point, right? And everybody knows that Lesnar in real life is a legitimate guy. Like, there's nothing fake about Brock Lesnar, right? I mean, he's the real deal. Like, everything he says is, like, for real. And I would throw you into orbit. So, with that, you've got Lesnar with the championship around him, but you know he's got to drop it and he's not going to be on TV. And that's where the fans, the immediate backlash and resentment during that reign of terror where he just never was there. Yeah. And he's so expensive that they end up releasing a lot of talent probably to take care of him and try to get other, you know, old top guys on the show, like other managers from past eras on the show. And it's just so expensive, and it doesn't make any sense. Here's how I would have felt like he should have been booked. Should he have been world champion a couple of times throughout this past 2010s to 2020s? Sure.
Yeah.
Right? But not the way that they did it. It was just all the time. I think Brock Lesnar works best. He has to stay away from the title, and it's more of a proving ground where you know a guy's going to get pushed. And what I mean is, like, like people come to step up because they want to, you know, if you're trying to highlight and spotlight somebody, and I'm not saying that they necessarily lose to Lesnar, because I mean, look at the Survivor Series matches from 2017 to 2018, right? 2017, you had the champion versus champion match of him with AJ Styles, and it was a fantastic match, right?
Yeah.
AJ Styles lost, but he had a great match and it made him better. Yeah. Daniel Bryan in 2018 had a Survivor Series match, was match of the year. And he lost, but it made him better. It made it better. Like, it was a great match.
Yeah.
So
you got a bunch of young guys like Theory versus Lesnar could be great.
Right.
You know, and then you've got some up and coming people, Braun Breaker, you know, when he gets a call up, you know, look at people like even like a Carmelo Hayes, like if he really wanted to be that proving ground, you know, he could have all kinds of matches. But the only match that we ever see is him versus Roman Reigns for the 9 millionth time.
Yeah, but who
tired of that?
Who else currently could they have the match with? Because the other problem that they had, right, was aside from injuries, they brought in Goldberg that ran roughshod on people. I mean, look at what he did. Remember when we had Kevin Owens. After Balor got hurt, he won the Universal Championship, right?
Yeah.
a fantastic heel run with Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fed him to like Goldberg at what, Elimination Chamber 27, and ruined it, right? Because the match that everybody wanted to see at WrestleMania 33 was him versus Jericho, the blow off match, their situation. And it got dropped on the show to like a U.S. title match, I think. And it was second on the card when it should have been the main event of WrestleMania. And it would have been in the top 10 for sure, if not top five WrestleManias. If they'd have had that, they could have had the Goldberg and Lesnar match. It did not need a title. And that was probably the best match they ever had. Best match Goldberg ever had, probably. I mean, it just, I don't know. It just feels like to me, when you bring in these kind of guys and they run roughshod around your main event talent and they beat everybody like a Goldberg, because unfortunately he only works if he's beating everybody, but it kills your product because he's not a talent that's going to be around for the next 10 years, right? So you don't need, like, he doesn't need to do that. And he definitely shouldn't have been the world championship picture because you knew he couldn't afford to lose. Goldberg can't afford to lose. If he loses, the whole reason he exists is gone. He can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it messes that kind of thing up. So, and even with Lesnar, like, it's cool that he's in there, but if he's just like, you know, running through all of your guys, you remember when he had the reinsurgence in what, 2014, 2015, he went up against the Big Show back then. And remember, it wasn't even, it was like a squash match. Like, he just tore him to pieces.
And
they could have had a lengthy feud if they had made it competitive at the beginning. Lesnar could have won the feud, but he squashed him. Then he got to Mark Henry and just dropped him on the announce table and was done with it. Mm. And it ruined how much time they could have used to have him go through everybody, but instead he just ran roughshod. And it made nobody worth anything on the show.
Well, and another thing, and this kind of comes back to, Brandon, I know you've spoke quite well on this. This one man booking.
Yeah.
You know, you get like, oh, we're going to center everything around this one guy. And this is what happens.
Because, yes.
You know, you keep bringing back Lesnar. I mean, nobody, it's not that people don't like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's great, but I can't miss you if you don't go away.
That's
it. You know, and if you're not going to be a guy that shows up every week and is willing to fight people like, you know, The Miz or, you know, just Mustafa Ali or Bobby Roode, somebody random, you know, just like an everyday wrestler, then, you know, if you're going to be a special attraction, then it's not special if you just keep coming around and having the same matches.
Yeah.
That's true. I think we have two problems with that, actually. I'm sorry, Dale, what were we going to say? I've got a point to... you reminded me of something about that I'm going to say, too. There's a second problem as well.
Yeah, I was going to circle back to the Logan Paul of you know, coming back to WWE with this. Like it or not, I mean, he brings eyes with him. He signed a deal with WWE for sure.
Yeah.
I mean... Honestly, he impressed me with his match at WrestleMania for, you know, a celebrity to really do the kind of moves and stuff he was doing. This guy really, really worked hard at it.
And he took it seriously.
I give him respect, man.
Yeah, he got, yeah. I mean, so with Logan Paul, I'll say this and then I'll go back to the other thing I was going to say, Aaron. With Logan Paul, I don't really hate the idea of him coming in and wanting to do wrestling, you know, if he wanted to do wrestling, you know, if he's going to be there every week, right? But also at the same time, I feel like Logan Paul cannot be a babyface, especially not right now. That is not going to go well. And they're going to make him one. And he is not a natural babyface. Like, I can already see that with that match at Mania. No way.
I mean, the guy's a heat magnet.
Yes, the spot is heel, and due to his online presence, you know, the controversy behind some of the things that's done, good, bad, right, or wrong, I think he would do better as a heel. I think Miz was a great person for him to be with because Miz has been around a long time. I think he could teach him some things or two about that kind of stuff, but also I think the pair of them would be just obnoxious, and Miz could have a thing of trying to, like, jealous and secretly, you know, piggyback off of Logan Paul's success in a way, while wrapping it around like, well, I'm the veteran and I'm teaching you the ropes here, when actually stealing some of the claim for his own thing, kind of like with Daniel Bryan, right? That was his apprentice, you know, and it was that. I think he can do that for Logan Paul, and it would be great. I see him in this match. If they were smart, the only way to make this really interesting is if Logan Paul turned heel on AJ Styles in this match.
That's exactly what I was fixing to say. I could easily see that happening.
I think that would be good for him because he already has built-in heat from real life. He also has residual heat left over from WrestleMania 38 with the 80 stuff in Texas. I think he could do this and turn heel on The Miz turn heel on AJ Styles and give him some real, like, you know what I'm saying? Like something to care about and make him more interesting. I don't think he would be good as a babyface. I think it would feel very artificial. And I think he is definitely a natural heel, and I think it would work. All he has to do is kind of like hype what he really is to like 20. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like a social media star. And I think that people will really love to hate that part. Mm-hmm. Now, back on the problem with the how can I miss you if you don't go away situation with like Lesnar's use throughout his second run here in the company. I feel like there's two problems, right? One, you could either have with some like some stars, like either the way that Brock Lesnar was used, like mid throughout the 2010s, or the way that they're doing Roman Reigns recently, where this person you have that you've invested everything in has the top prize of the company and it's not being featured in or not on TV. It doesn't do any good for people if you consistently do that. I mean, you know, it's not working well. I think the only thing that made it semi-tolerable is you had another world champion on the show. But and you had a story wrapped up in the fact that you had a part-time champion. That was Roman's resurgence. Remember, his whole thing in 2018 was like Brock Lesnar's a part-time guy.
Right.
And I'm here all the time.
Definitely remember that.
Yeah, that was a part of the story. So it made the heat, like they used that to their advantage and their momentum. But I think the other problem is you can't have one guy, okay, you put the championship on him and he's there every week, but he's just always there winning all the time, because then you get a John Cena problem where it's too much and it's just forever winning and winning and just nobody can get over anymore, because you just got this one guy that won't let go of the championship that's just always on your TV. So I feel like the only time it's worked with megastars that stayed was when we had multiples. And the only time that actually was a thing was before Cena, right? Because Randy Orton was not on the same stardom level as Cena. Like he wasn't. Right. It was just Cena basically at the top by himself, pretty much. And he just ran roughshod around WWE and just never went away hardly. It was just, I mean, it's one thing to be on the show, but it's another to be your champion and nobody can get over on this guy. It just makes no sense. You're not building anything. At least, you know, you had Austin that was booked like just, you know, where he barely lost. But man, you had Austin, you had Rock. For a time, you had Mick Foley. You had Triple H in his best version, which was, you know, pre-2003. Or, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was the best Triple H for me. But you had these guys where somebody got injured. These were main event guys. Like, when Austin got injured, Rock was right there, and he was number one, and everybody loved it. Honestly, the best revered years of the Attitude Era was 2000, was the best book year, the most financial year. Rock was running with Triple H, and Austin and Undertaker wasn't even on the show for a whole year. You had guys to fill in, you know. Now you have nothing. Like right now you have nothing. They were trying to build with Cody. I give them that. They had Cody in there, but he got injured. And it's like Drew McIntyre was on top, but now he's just kind of like floating around the upper mid card.
I think that's gonna change after Castle. That's my prediction. But
yeah, and Lashley, right now, you know, I mean, he's over, you know, but that's because people are dying for somebody else.
Okay.
And they knew that he ran with the championship. He had a great 2021.
Yeah, he good.
Well, it's pretty clear on how we feel about the Roman versus Brock match.
I mean, they can have a good match. It's just that we've already had.
Tired of seeing it.
We've already had them.
So let's just wrap this thing up.
They don't have a good match. I just don't really. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, you know,
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's just wrap this thing up with Lashley versus Theory for the U.S. title. And I mean, it's going to be a rematch for sure, but there's no way Theory goes over here with him having the Money in the Bank briefcase, right?
I mean, he could. I mean, I wouldn't put it past WWE to pull a swerve. And it's really not a knock, like, because honestly, I felt like it's kind of hard because Bobby Lashley did not need to lose because of who he is and kind of the momentum he's got behind him now. But Theory didn't need to lose his title either. Like, I don't feel like, and I think that.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. What were you going to say?
I don't think this match should be happening. I think, Money in the Bank, Lashley became champion. Theory won the briefcase and everybody was upset about it, so he's got heat on him.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, we're good. Like, you don't, now you've circled back and you've kind of painted yourself into a corner because Lashley does not need to lose the Intercontinental title. But Theory can't lose and still look like a strong Money in the Bank candidate. But, you know, so it's kind of a, you know, one of those deals where they've backed themselves into a corner, and I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I really didn't think the match needed to happen in the first place. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that they could have a match, but for what we're talking about right now, where Lashley really couldn't lose, Theory shouldn't have lost the match, but I feel like they shouldn't have booked these two together.
Yeah.
For these reasons, right? Because Lashley's going to need to be in the title picture. And Theory, I think it's too soon for him to be in the world championship title picture because he, you know what I'm saying? Without a great feud or something to push up there, they're going to mess the crowd reactions up with Theory. He doesn't need that, right? That's what happened to Roman.
Right.
They did something foolish and they never let it go and they didn't get the right crowd reactions with Theory. Yeah, sure, he's heel. At least they got that part right. They're not trying to book him as a babyface, but. Yeah.
But they're shoving him down people's throats.
Yeah, and it's
not going to work.
Again, that's going to be the reason why we hate him, I believe.
It's a bad book. It's lazy booking. That's lazy booking. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, you know what I'm saying? Let's make him annoying because this is what we want to do and they hate it. The only thing we gave him is the fact that you can boo him, like we turn him heel.
Yeah.
So he's not oblivious to the fact that, you know, he's doing things that we hate, like they had for John Cena in the early 2010s where he just, you know, was like playing like Superman, even though we looked at him as Homelander. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
He thought he was Superman, but he was Homelander. It's like, no, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand that. Like, I feel like they could really do something good with Theory, but whoever is helping book the show or writing or whatever.
Yeah.
They got to do something to spin this where it doesn't backfire on Theory because I don't think that he has enough time yet to do the world title picture without it being absolute fan backlash and then them like making a star with this guy because I think they can. But right now, I feel like they're just going to go straight to the John Cena that nobody liked versus the John Cena that people liked in 2004. Right? He had feuds. He had reasons for you to like him. And he was interesting.
Any chance they pull the trigger and he takes the title off Brock or Roman at SummerSlam?
I don't think at SummerSlam it's going to be
happening. I don't think that would be a good idea.
I don't think it'd be a good idea, but we're talking about WWE, so.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm being realistic here.
I don't think Theory could, like, do the Seth Rollins thing. Where he just snatches it out and runs with it, and it turns out to be great.
No.
I don't think that would work.
That's starting to make sense, though, now that you bring it up.
You see what I mean? That's the set. Is he going to Seth Rollins this whole thing and heist it?
Could do it. I don't know.
I think Rollins, they need to play him off as a coward.
Do what now?
Like he tries to cash in the old-fashioned, you know, guys down, can't get back up.
Right.
Try it that way. I mean, I could see a situation where, you know, his match with Lashley just, you know, destroys him, or he fakes an energy or injury. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our thoughts on SummerSlam upcoming, and we'll see y'all later.
Peace.
Peace out.
That's what you do. Goodbye. Mwah. Good night. Bang! Yes!
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.